How do you do? Gamblers thrive on the lure of making a big killing, hitting the jackpot and seeing their dreams come true, like the man in this story. He bet on the horses. But horses had nothing to do with the riches he inherited the day his heart and mind and life were unshackled.
Mama! Terrible news!
What?
The Tsar is calling up men for the army.
That is terrible news. But surely they won't call you, not with three children, one of them a newborn.
Do you think the Tsar cares about us?
What will happen to your grain business? It's just starting to prosper.
Who knows? My brothers will be called too. And then there will be no one left to run it.
There must be something we can do.
Oh, if I were unfit for duty, they would reject me.
But you're not.
I'm going to starve myself.
I don't want you to die, Papa!
Don't worry. I'll just lose enough that they won't want me.
With true life stories of people who emerge from darkness to light, this is Unshackled, dramatized and produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. Never give up on them. That's the motto at Pacific Garden Mission. No matter how irreparable a life may seem, we know the one who can fix the brokenness. So we keep the doors open day and night, welcoming those on the edge of despair. And thanks to financial gifts from caring friends, the mission offers a safe place to sleep, fresh clothing and nourishing meals, even medical and dental care in the mission clinic, and all without charge. Most of all, we offer each guest a chance to start fresh, with a counselor who guides us each day. He never gives up on them either. Every transformed life is a victory that makes the light in the old lighthouse shine brighter. And that light goes out to the world through these true testimonies. And now for broadcast around the earth, here's program number 2969 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
He's gone, children. I knew it was a bad idea starving himself like that. I knew he'd get sick, but he went so fast. What are we going to do now? Oh, poor little Max, only 10 months old. Never to know your papa.
The man in our story was that 10-month-old baby, born in Russia in 1909. His mother decided to take him and his older brother and sister to the United States, where her parents had immigrated. And this is the story of how they survived. It's the true story of Max Forman from the classic files of Unshackled.
My mother settled in Philadelphia near her parents, who took care of me till I entered school. They were strict Orthodox Jews. Mother opened a small milk store and struggled desperately to make ends meet. Life was very hard for her, but never so hard as to break her pride. I remember well the December afternoon when there came a knock at the door. A well-meaning woman brought us a food basket from the Jewish Center, which Mama refused.
Thank you very much, but since we have no hunger here, I suggest you take the basket of groceries and give it to someone else. If you look further, I'm sure you will find a family that is really in need.
We were very deprived, and that basket of food would have made a big difference to us. So the hunger remained and the poverty. As soon as we three children were old enough, we found jobs and enrolled in night school. My brother married, and so did my sister. I enrolled in vocational school and became a coppersmith working in the Philadelphia Naval Shipyard. When the U.S. entered the war after Pearl Harbor, my job exempted me from the draft. So I was able to support my wife, Evelyn, and a daughter who came along later. Things went well until the war ended and rumors of a layoff came.
Layoffs? In the shipyard?
Yeah.
What'll happen to us? You can't go back to working in restaurants. We couldn't live on that.
No, but if I could be a steam fitter, well, we might do all right.
A steam fitter? Is it possible?
If I join a union.
Oh, how much would that cost?
$300.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah, but it's an investment, Evelyn.
Yeah, well, such an investment could send us to the poorhouse. That and your horses.
The horses don't amount to much.
Yeah, they certainly don't. They're worthless. But if you'd stop buying those racing papers and stay away from the bookie, it wouldn't be so hard to come up with $300.
Look, you seem to forget that people win money on the horses every day. Big money. Listen, you watch. One of these days, I'm going to hit it right and make a big killing. Did you see what the Daily Double paid yesterday?
Did they pay you? No, and they never will.
My hopes for the horses were pipe dreams. But changing job skills was practical and sensible. So we went ahead with it so I could support my wife and daughter. Even so, life seemed increasingly empty. Gambling offered some excitement, but as time passed, I knew in my heart the big killing would never happen.
You're awfully quiet, Max.
Yeah, just thinking.
What about?
I don't know, life, you know. I mean, is this all there is, Evelyn? Day after day, doing the same work, making ends meet. No real hope of anything better ever happening to us.
Well, it's always been that way for most people.
Yeah, but I watched my mother's health go downhill. She had nothing to look forward to, and neither do we. I mean, life is truly empty. I made arrangements to ride to and from work with one of my fellow workers. The man who owned the car seemed to always bring the conversation around to religion. I managed to miss much of it by sitting in the back seat and studying the racing sheets. So the other passenger got it all.
Frank, have you ever thought about what you'll be doing a year from now? Or 2 years? Or five?
I don't think about it that much.
How about you, Max?
How about what?
What'll you be doing 5 years from now?
I don't know. The same thing I'm doing right now. Trying to pick a winner in the fourth at Arlington.
Shouldn't there be something better than that?
Yeah, getting the winner.
And you think that would add up to the abundant life?
What abundant life?
The abundant life that Jesus says he came to give.
Oh.
You know, Tony, when you talk about Jesus, it sounds like you're talking about somebody you actually know. I don't get it.
Jesus is somebody I know, personally. That's why I'm enjoying the life and that more abundantly. Well, here's your place, Frank. We'll talk more about it tomorrow, huh?
Why would tomorrow be any different?
Driving on to my place, Tony would angle his conversation directly to me, and I'd fold up my racing form and listen.
I'm building a house in the country, Max, doing all the work myself.
Sounds like a big job.
Oh, it would be without the Lord's help. But I know that I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me.
Yeah, well, it's still a big challenge, building a house.
Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it.
Tony, why do I have the feeling that you just quoted more scripture?
From your own Bible, Psalm 127.
Oh.
Have you done much reading in the Bible, Max? I mean, the Old Testament, of course.
A little, but I don't know it as well as I should.
Have you ever read some of the things that Isaiah wrote about Messiah?
I can't say that I have.
Listen to this, then. Thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to him whom man despiseth, to him whom the nation abhorreth, to a servant of rulers. Kings shall see and arise. Princes also shall worship because of the Lord that is faithful, and the Holy One of Israel, and he shall choose thee. That's Isaiah chapter 49, verse 7, and it's talking about the Messiah.
And you can recite it by heart?
Well, that one I can. And some more. Max, have you ever considered seriously the possibility that the Messiah is Jesus?
No, I haven't.
The prophet Isaiah wrote about 700 years before Jesus was born.
But listen to what he wrote. It's a perfect description of the man who went to the cross. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Well, what do you think of Isaiah's description?
Isaiah? I didn't see his name on my racing form. What race is he running in? I wasn't trying to be disrespectful or even funny. I was, well, just embarrassed by how little I knew of the Bible and didn't want to admit my ignorance. So I tried to pass the whole thing off as some kind of joke, but I knew better. Well, sometime later, I was transferred to another job, which ended my ride-sharing arrangement with Tony. Nearly 3 years passed, and our daughter neared her teen years.
What are we going to do about it, Max?
I don't know, Evelyn. I just wanted to know more about our religion.
But it would cost to join the temple.
And we don't even have a car to take her there.
Well, my parents are willing to help us get a car if your pride doesn't stand in the way.
I'd love to have a car.
So would I. So I'll tell them okay.
In a moment, we'll hear how that new car would take them to a new life. This year, we moved into the new building at 1458 South Canal Street in Chicago. And we're thankful to God for this new facility that increases our ability to minister to the homeless. And we are thankful to God who enabled us to keep the light burning at the old lighthouse as we transitioned there. And we're thankful to God for every volunteer who comes to help, every person on the prayer band, everyone who delivers food baskets to the needy, every donation, no matter what size. And we are grateful for the translators who send this program out to a world in 8 languages, the radio stations that broadcast these testimonies, the lives that are changed. Our God is the source of all these gifts, and we give him the sacrifice of praise. Listening friend, we hope you do the same this Thanksgiving, and remember the homeless at Pacific Garden Mission. To join us in this endeavor, you may send your gift or food contribution to Pacific Garden Mission at our new address, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. Donations can be made on our website at unshackled.org.
After Evelyn's parents helped us buy a new car, we had to put some miles on it before it could be serviced. So we and our daughter were on a Sunday afternoon drive in the country when I suddenly recognized Tony's name on a mailbox. Hey, that's Tony's place.
Way out here in the country?
Yeah. I mean, that's his name on a mailbox. He built the house himself. Started it with the basement and then did all the work himself.
I remember you telling me about it.
It took him 10 years, but look what he's got.
Oh, so much land around it.
Hey, let's turn around at the next driveway and go back and see if he's home.
Well, someone was sitting outside on the porch.
Edith! Come out here, we got company.
Hey, we're not company, Tony. We just happened to be driving by and, I noticed your name in a mailbox. I told my wife we ought to stop and see the beautiful house you built all by yourself.
Not all by myself, Max. I had the Lord's help.
This is my wife, Evelyn.
And this must be your daughter. Young lady, why don't you go round back and play with my gang? They're all back there.
You must be Tony's wife, Edith. This is my wife, Evelyn.
I'm so glad to know you both. And you should know that your coming here is a direct answer to prayer.
I don't think I understand.
Well, Tony and I have been praying for you and Max for nearly 3 years. And one of the things we prayed was that you might stop in to see us. So we've been expecting you.
I see, I think.
Come on, Tony. Help me get some refreshments for these people.
Oh, don't go to any trouble.
Oh, it's no trouble. Come on, Tony. You can help.
I'll be right back.
Max? What in the world is she talking about?
What do you mean?
Well, this business of praying for us? Why, she's never even seen us before. I mean, you pray for the sick and for the dead in a synagogue or church, I suppose. Why is she praying for us?
I don't know.
What kind of a place did you bring me to?
We stayed most of the afternoon, and our friends kept steering the conversation towards spiritual things. I kept turning it in the opposite direction, but when we were ready to leave, Tony suggested that we have prayer together. Evelyn and I never prayed at home, so we were surprised as they closed their eyes and began praying.
Now, Lord, we commit our friends into thy hands for safekeeping as they travel. May their way be open and safe. Bring them to their home without hindrance or trouble, and bring them back to this place again where they're always welcome. We pray in the name of our lovely Lord Jesus, and for his sake, amen.
Well, that was certainly strange, but I'll admit it was nice of them to be so concerned about us.
Yeah, and want us to come back again.
I think they really mean it, too. But we'll probably never will go back.
I suppose not, but did you notice the way they pray?
Yeah, you mean saying it out loud as they go along?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, no prayer book or anything. They just sort of close their eyes and start talking to God. Very strange. The following week, we took another drive to put miles on a car and had no intention whatever of seeing our friends. We did stop for refreshments, though, at a dairy cottage. And the young man who waited on us was David, Edith and Tony's son.
Good to see you folks again. Have you been over to the house to see Mom and Dad?
No, we hadn't really planned to.
You should. They're expecting company today. I could tell by the way Mom was cooking special dishes. I know it's bad for business here, but you better not order much, or you won't do justice to Mom's cooking.
Well, yeah, but I told you, David, we don't plan to stop there at all.
Okay, but think about it. They'd be glad to see you.
Sometime later, as we passed the house, I had a sudden and powerful impulse to turn in at the driveway. And when we got out of the car and started up the walk, they greeted us warmly.
They're here, Edith. And just about on time, too.
Wonderful. Come on in, folks. I baked a cake, and there's ice cream. Come in and see for yourselves.
We stopped in at the dairy cottage down the road and saw David. He said you were expecting company, so we don't want to stay if someone's coming.
Well, of course we were expecting company. You.
Well, how is that possible? We had no intention of coming here today.
Maybe not, but we've been praying for you all week. And one of the things we prayed was that you'd stop in again today.
Well, we had a long and interesting conversation. Again, it turned to things spiritual, but this time, I didn't try to change the subject. They reviewed the life of Abraham, which brought back memories of Old Testament stories that I had heard in my youth.
You know, in the New Testament, Paul the Apostle speaks of Abraham. Paul writes that Abraham was called to go into a place that he would receive for an inheritance, and he obeyed God's call and went, not knowing where he went.
Yeah, I know he obeyed God.
God entrusted Abraham with the immense responsibility of being the father of a great nation, Israel, so that through him, all the nations of the earth might be blessed. Do you know what that means?
Well, I suppose it means that the knowledge of the one true God would be carried by the Hebrew people.
Well, that's part of it, Max. But it also points to the coming of Messiah, not only to Israel, but to all nations. Here, read Isaiah chapter 49, verse 6.
And he said, "It is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth."
Messiah is Jesus.
That is a very strange idea to us.
I know, But Jesus himself was absolutely certain. He said, I and my Father are one. He said, He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself.
John writes, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made.
And later he wrote, He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name.
Sons of God?
Isn't that an amazing promise?
Yeah, Tony, it is.
And those first disciples, including John, who wrote those words from God, were all Hebrews. So was Simon Peter, who stared at Jesus one day in sudden realization and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Before we left, there was another time of prayer. This time, our friends knelt by their chairs. Not wanting to be different, Evelyn and I did the same. Tony and Edith prayed, first one and then the other. And again, we were instantly aware of the direct and personal way in which they spoke. Our hearts were stirred. I don't remember what they said, but I do remember the tears running down my face. Tears I couldn't stop at the realization of my sins.
God bless you, Max and Evelyn.
Tony, listen to me. I believe in Jesus Christ, and I accept him in my life. I need to know what to do about it now.
Me too. I believe in Jesus as the Messiah.
Praise God. Just tell him about it and put everything, especially yourself, in his hands.
Thank you.
We have a gift for you, a new family Bible.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Let's pray. Father God, thank you for Max and Evelyn, for their new birth into your kingdom. Guide them, Father. Open their minds to understand what you say in your word, Lord, and help them put their trust in you.
That afternoon, our lives were transformed. But we didn't fully understand what happened. And on the way home, we had some terrible moments of misgiving.
What in the world have we done, Max? We're Jews.
I know, Evelyn. I mean, how could we make a commitment to Christ? And yet, I did, and I feel good about it.
Actually, I do too. But did we do the right thing?
Well, my mind is telling me I'm crazy, but my heart tells me we did. I mean, doesn't it make your heart warm?
Yes. I never knew till now what people meant by heartwarming.
I'm going home and read the Old Testament to see if there's any contradiction. There wasn't. As I read prophecy after prophecy, I saw that Jesus was truly Yeshua HaMashiach. 2 weeks later, our daughter professed faith in Christ, and then in time, my wife's mother and father. At first, my father-in-law, Sam, refused to be in a room with us when we spoke of our faith in Christ, but he listened carefully from the next room, and before long, he too professed faith in Jesus as Messiah.
Dad has really softened since he came to Christ.
Ah, I know, and it's great.
Maybe he'll start going to that Hebrew church with us.
Oh, I hope so. We're all converted Jews there.
You know what Dad says?
What?
I'm a converted Jew, all right, but when it comes to eating ham, my stomach isn't converted yet.
Is that what he said?
Yeah. See what you started.
Not me, Max. It's the Lord. He saves people one heart after another.
Listen, I love reading the Bible now.
Instead of the racing forms?
Oh, yeah. Hey, what a waste of time and money that was.
You were trying to fill the big hole in your life that was meant for God alone.
And I got no interest in gambling now. I'm just sorry that I didn't listen to you sooner.
God's timing is perfect, Max. Hey, how's that new church?
Oh, great. It's a small congregation in Philadelphia, Hebrew Christians.
Completed Jews, just like the first Christians.
Yeah, I see so much of Jesus in the Old Testament now.
He's the living God, and he has guided your people down through the centuries.
Last week we talked about how there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus.
He broke down the wall of separation.
It's a pity so many of my people have such hardness of heart about Christ.
They don't know the truth.
And they've suffered at the hands of so-called Christians.
That's why we just keep speaking God's word, and we let him work in their hearts.
Tony, I am so grateful that you didn't give up on me.
How could I? God never gives up on us, and he's the example we follow.
God saved me in 1956 and has given us the best years of our lives. Our daughter married a believer and they serve the Lord as teachers. My heart's desire is to have my dear Jewish people come to a saving knowledge of Yeshua HaMashiach as Lord and Savior.
And that's our desire too. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That salvation is for you, listening friend. Just tell God in your own words that you are a sinner who needs Christ, who died for your sins. If you need counsel in making this crucial decision, just get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. The telephone number in Chicago, area 312-922-1462. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org, and visit our website to learn more about this ministry, unshackled.org. Be a friend and tell a friend about this program, when and how to listen. And please remember to thank the manager of this station for bringing you Unshackled. This is program number 2969. Heard in the classic true story of Max Forman were Chuck McLennan, Rengen Altai, Meg Thalkin, Dan Frick, and Herb Lichtenstein. Original music, Ralph Colburn. Sound, Nick Aloisio. Engineer, Kim Rasmussen. Script by Kenitha Gabler and Jack O'Dell, and I'm Bob O'Donnell. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Please write today. Your letter means more than you know. The address, Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. You may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. Area 312-922-1462. Someone is waiting for your call, 312-922-1462.